Good evening. This is Mae Brussel from KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. This is broadcast number 581, January 24th, 1983. I appreciate that a lot of important items in the news are going by, that we keep up on various programs and update, and you may be wondering why I'm not mentioning them, but I'm going to do this continuous series on the attempted assassination of the Pope. It's just a marvelous script. It's exactly rerun of the people that were involved in all the assassinations that I've talked about, the international connections, the web, and the using the identical people to cover up this assassination attempt on the Pope and divert it, or the murder if they could have gotten away with it, to divert it to this old KGB Russian plot, or in the Kennedy assassination to include Oswald from the Soviet Union and Marina from the Soviet Union, and Oswald wanting to go to Castro to see, go to Cuba, see Fidel Castro. The script is identical, and it's exciting. It's just as exciting as if a doctor were making a diagnosis on a very difficult case and had seen a particular case like that a long time ago and applied it, and it worked. The names that run through this fabric pertain to the very people, as I say, that we share information with, the different researchers around the country and writers putting out books, not making the connecting links, but they do all converge here. And last week, the week before, I mentioned the article in the Village Voice, and last week I spoke about that on the Pope, Lumumba, and the Kalb connections. That is Madeleine Kalb, who's married to Bernard Marvin Kalb, and their brother, Bernard Kalb. Marvin and Bernard Kalb are brothers. One covers the Washington news with Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon through those terrible, turbulent years from the time that Kissinger is launched into the national scene, where he leaves Harvard in the shell of Harvard professor, going down almost every week, monthly, to the Defense Department, the Intelligence Department, working even with the fall of the Mossadegh in Iran, the first attempted coup very early, when the Shah was put into power with his father was a Nazi during the war, Zahedi, and his right-hand aides and relatives were Nazis. And Kissinger was in on that and on down. When he gets to Washington, the people that travel with him, that go to Moscow and China, are Marvin Kalb, Bernard Kalb, one for NBC, one for CBS, one was stationed in Moscow. These traveling brothers are amazing. And also the importance of that article that Mr. Coburn has of the Lumumba connections. And I'm going to continue on with that and break down in this 1 hour, if I can, and continue next week into the Lehman family and the Grace Kelly connections to Kissinger and John Warner with the Edwin Wilson connections. It's a complicated web. If you're not familiar with these broadcasts every week for the past 6 months or a year and a half at least, but bear with it and listen to the tapes and play them back over and keep getting the next ones, and you'll get what I'm trying to say about the microcosm of this whole conspiracy block being centered at this time on the trying to blame the KGB and the Bulgarian communists for the assassination attempt on the Pope. Now, in simplistic terms, it breaks down, if you so far, the way the news starts, and I mentioned this last week also with you, was that when Ajan was arrested in Rome, he was part of a Nazi gray wolf, very treacherous fascist group. He had murdered a professor, not a professor, newspaper publisher in Turkey, a leftist. And the far right wing wanted to take over his newspaper, and Ajan was taken to jail. And then he and about 200 people had been released, just as we release our mafia gunmen, such as Lucky Luciano, Murder Incorporated, to go over and work with the intelligence in the United States. This isn't a new pattern, but it's so interesting the way they keep repeating it. They've got a recipe, like your favorite chocolate cake, and if it can't fail, it can't fail. And the only thing that's missing is if they forget a certain ingredient, but people are getting smarter now and can at least duplicate it and analyze it and study it. And every time they use that same recipe, even in this case, the telltale telephone number of a Bulgarian in his pocket when he's arrested, like those usual diaries you leave around, you can understand the past assassinations and conspiracies and how they've worked for a long, long time, because the same people are doing them. When they die off, it'll be harder to pull this off. But right now, most people are pretty gullible, and they're pulling it off pretty successfully. Now, Aja was said to be a right-wing Nazi fascist. He was linked to those people. He walked out of jail. He went all over Europe, and he had a spending fund of like $50,000, and he was in every NATO country. He did go to Lebanon, but the Christian Falange is in Lebanon. Every Lebanese is in the PLO, and the PLO and the IRA are funded by the Vatican, as I said before. So that doesn't mean a thing to be in Lebanon. Our headlines, the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, LA Times, the papers I take, many of them, Chicago Tribune. If somebody's been to one country, just like Oswald went to the Soviet Union, he's a communist. If you travel to Russia, you're a communist. The Soviet was infiltrated with CIA and Reinhard Gehlen's agents that aren't separated. He worked with us, Hitler's chief of intelligence. But to travel through a country, in Bulgaria, in spite of it being in the Soviet bloc, is a passageway for the world narcotics traffics that does go into Munich and Frankfurt and into New York City, and it comes from the Middle East going through there. Now, the first reports were that Aja, and these were the accurate reports, because leaving the jail and who he worked with and where he grew up, and I'll go into that in detail, those were the accurate reports. Then August and September of this year, all of a sudden there was a new angle, a Bulgarian connection, implying that all of Bulgaria is there, and it's the highly secretive Bulgarian police. And if it's the Bulgarian police, that has to be Andropov, the new head of the Soviet Union. Now, Andropov probably has to be one of the most intelligent men in the world. And I mentioned specifically last week how they have cut inflation, had full employment, they don't need imports, they're self-sufficient, they've held on to their resources. There has to be some reason to believe that this man who speaks languages, which some of the others didn't have, he had the advantage of multi-language. He's a very intelligent man. And how they think they can pull this is, in fact, when I did the program on Ronald Reagan, when Andropov came in and Reagan said it takes two to tango, I said, Reagan has met his master. And for this reason, you don't hear Ronald Reagan in his press conference talking about the shooting of the Pope. He was asked about it, and his answer was, I'll let the Italians speak, because he knows that net will pull him out just as Nixon got out of Watergate. He will let his people leak, but they're not going very far. But Nixon and Secretary of State Schultz, George Schultz, they're staying on the cautious side. But the first reports for almost a year were that this man had these Nazi backgrounds. Now, he wasn't going to talk about that. He was promised that he would be rescued, like Otto Skorzeny was, within 6 months. And at the end of the year, if they didn't rescue him, then he was to pull the Bulgarian story, the communists did it, and in exchange for talking, he'd get out, and he'd get out faster, because if the far-right Nazi gun smuggler narcotic gang rescues him, then everyone's on their tail and may bust their narcotics. Now, it turned out that the narcotics gang were busted anyway in Milan just a few weeks ago, and that tied up, again, the Vatican Bank, the Banco Ambrosiano, the gun running, the narcotics, with almost $1 billion, $690 million in one arrest in Milan, and some of that money could have gone, say, to rescue Aja. But the point is, if you're going after Aja, why take the people who the heat is on anyway, particularly since Roberta Calvi was hanging in London and the banks are tied up? I just heard on the news, what was this week, the 10 major banks are about to collapse, and several include those northern European countries. They depend on a steady flow of this kind of money, and a big hunk of an arrest in Milan that's linked to Ambrosiano, to the Aja gang and the International Narcotics Group. They not only can't rescue, but then the heat would be there, so there wouldn't be any point in doing that. It'd be like if a Black Panther were in jail and Black Panthers tried to rescue him, then they'd go busting and looking and have an excuse to break them up further. So you would use an excuse, which they don't do, which isn't very smart, and say the right wing paid me to do it. This way he's diverting it now. At the end of a year, if he isn't rescued, then he'll give it a communist connection and come up with names he never saw the people, and is given pictures to identify, and matches one in a crowd who has been seen by other people, you know, as a story, a face in a crowd like Artie Bremer up in Canada. You can always pull out a face in a crowd. It may be that person, it may be a double, and the history of espionage is filled with doubles. So the second point, after he was a right wing by August or September, they wanted to show how evil the commies were in killing the pontiff. Now that motive of springing that now goes into what I won't have time this week, but it goes into the John Lehman, Secretary of Navy, Grace Kelly connections in Monaco, and the United States echelon of Henry Kissinger and his gang. We'll do that, as I say, I don't think I'll have time this week. Then the third opinion, the other opinion, the Bulgarians did it. Then the other opinion is, we don't know yet. That is Ronald Reagan and Schultz, who are keeping their mouths shut. And in the meantime, as I mentioned last week, separating the United States from the Vatican. Because the Pope knows who did it. You know he knows who did it. And he's stuck there with his terrible problem, sitting in that Vatican and with Marcinkus locked in the same place with him, even though it's large. It's not large enough for those two right now. So the I don't know yet, I'm not saying, we'll leave it to the Italians. Now, the Italian government is split in two sides. One are the Christian Democrats, who say there's hanky-panky here, the courts are wrong, we don't believe the Bulgarian, they're very cautious, and I'll give you some of the articles on that. They're playing it cautious. And then the Socialist Party, which don't think it's the communists, it's the socialists, like Hitler's Socialist Party. Hitler was smart. He took the name of socialism and made it communism so the people would think they have their form of socialism as against the Russian communism, or a true socialism, such as you get, say, in Canada or Sweden. The Socialist Party in Italy is the far right, and the spokesmen for it have said this is an act of war. And you see these headlines, and when you read under the headlines, who is saying it's act of war is Mr. Craxi, C-R-A-X-I, Bettino Craxi, B-E-T-T-I-N-O, C-R-A-X-I. That is why I mentioned on a tape several months ago that I would spell these names and that they shouldn't be typed up unless the spelling is correct. And this is one of the men whose name was just is an innocent mistake. I wasn't spelling was C-R-O-X-Y or something like that. And I said, that isn't good enough or fair when you do all this research, because it should be spelled Bettino Craxi. He is the right-hand man of Licio Gelli, who fled Europe after having his 930 membership or 850, I forget the figures, of the fascist group in Italy, and in also including the heads of states in Europe, the notorious Masonic Lodge, which is simpatico and identical to the Opus Dei. And Gelli fled, he fled Europe at the time the war was over, because he had headed the brown shirts in Italy for Mussolini and the guard equivalent to the Gestapo. He had worked for Franco and was in Italy during the war, and then went down to Argentine. And the British monarchy, the Duke of Kent, the cousin of the Queen of England, coaxed him to come back to Italy in the 50s. And he kept dual citizenship and organized through the monarchies and the fascist organizations the intent to put the monarchies back on the throne and put a fascist dictatorship in Europe. And Craxi was part of the Masonic Lodge. He was one of the first men mentioned in the news. And instead of going to jail and instead of fleeing, Bettino Craxi is giving the propaganda. If you see the articles in the newspaper, and I'll give you some, this is an act of war. Your Washington Post has the nerve, by Lauren Jenkins. Italy calls the Pope plot an act of war. Evidence points to Bulgarians, the defense chief says. Then you read the defense minister is Lelio Ligorio, L-A-G-O-R-I-O. And then down below it, under the leadership of Bettino Craxi, the socialist, the second largest party in the four-party coalition. Now, the government changed hands 180 degrees when Gelli fled. He was arrested the same night before Grace Kelly was murdered. He was arrested in Switzerland, drawing $50 million out of a bank. And they picked him up there. They haven't yet put him in Italy. He's such a hot potato. He's drained them about $22 billion in money. And the government still functions as if it doesn't need that money. But Tino Craxi's name is on the front page of the New York Times. Again, like the Washington Post. The Italian socialists accused of ploys. Oh, okay. Now, the Christian Democratic Party, as I say, is accusing the socialists. Those are the two main parties in Italy, the Christian Democrats. And those are the people that also worked with, they were thrown over because they were funded by the Nguyen Bank, by the CIA, by Lockheed. The Christian Democratic Party is hanging in there now, and they're accusing the socialists of manipulating the case against the Bulgarians for internal political advantage. In other words, they want to keep saying, it goes into, again, the bishops that are now becoming anti-war, anti-nuclear weapons, etc., around the world and in America particularly, under the leadership of Bettino Craxi. This is the New York Times, December 24th, the second largest party, as I say, they are using the story that the Turkish gunman, Aja, who's in jail, worked in the Soviet bloc nation, that he was a Soviet spy. So that name didn't fade away. You see, he's the right-hand man of the Hitler-Mussolini-Franco group. So he is giving the headlines, whoever buys it, and the Washington Post puts it, the Italians say it's an act of war. Italy's a big country, just like the United States is a big country. They have tremendous problems because the money was drained out of the country down to fund Argentine's war against the Falklands and to arm Paraguay, and where Mr. Mengele resides, and the Nazi strongholds that are paid well and they live well. It's a country that is split, and when Gelli left, they tried to get their place together and continue, but Craxi is one of the top officials still representing the Licio Gelli faction. So you have, in August, September this year, Aja and the far-right socialists, it is the Socialist Party, began, the Bulgarians did it, Ronald Reagan and Secretary of State Schultz said, we're staying clear, we're not saying it. And then the other evidence that they're sitting on now, that the Italian government investigators are going to Bonn, to Frankfurt, Germany, to the banks and the places where Aja was, to go into the Grey Wolf Hitler Worldwide Nazi Organization. They don't call it the Nazi organization. It is, well, they do. They call it the fascist organization. So, and that gets in back again to the Milan banks, the Banco Ambrosiano. And then that makes a full cycle back to the Vatican banks and would be a motive for trying to shoot the Pope, because within the past 2 years, the drug connections and the banking problems have led right back to the Vatican. I have an article here from the Village Voice, January the 20th, 1980. Another marvelous article. I should copy this and make multi-copies for people. It's by Brian Roston, R-O-S-T-O-N, called A Chapter from the Godfather. I had that on a program, or it was on the radio, in 1980, a long time ago. I think it was the broadcast right after, it was January 26th I had it on, A Chapter from the Godfather, Village Voice. And this is about Michael Sindona, the banker for the Vatican, how he took money from a holding company, Fosco International Holding Company, the 20th largest bank in from Luxembourg and Liechtenstein, and he brought $40 million of that and put it in New York so he could buy up the Franklin National Bank. At that time, Sindona was worth between $400 million and $500 million, and he transferred $67 million from the Milan banks and from Zurich and Fosco International. $67 million. And Licio Gelli took $22 billion of oil taxes and money out of that country. So we're talking about big figures, and there were irregularities in foreign exchange operations when 8 days after the Franklin Bank lost $45 million with Michael Sindona, there were irregularities in the foreign exchange of $40 million in Europe. So you see, this isn't an overnight problem. When I say the plans that the Pope might have caught on and the Vatican was in trouble, this long article that was in the Village Voice, Chapter from Godfather, is about our David Kennedy, who became Secretary of the Treasury in the United States. Article, this time they're saying Italian newspaper links Michael Sindona with black money. Black money is assassination money. He works with the CIA and with profits from organized crime, the source of his secret funds. That's why it was so disgusting that Alex Coburn made fun of Grace being tangled in this web, because here's the Vatican banker. The Vatican set up everything she ever had with her arrangements in Monaco. And In 1980, they were linking them to killing money, assassination money, CIA money, and transfers of billions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars. So this is a long problem. This isn't a new question. And so to get rid of the Pope at that time would be great. And if you could have a political coup of blaming the commies, oh, that would be even better. So taking the news as it breaks, and as I say, that magnificent article of Alex Coburn, you have to then go into the biography. I just gave a little bit off the blurb, Kissinger. I didn't have time even to look up the biography and who's who and all the things that Bernard Kalb and Marvin Kalb and Maxine Kalb have done. What I have to do now is go and find their books and newspaper articles and go through my early John Kennedy articles. I've saved all of them from many years up till Watergate in chronological order, and then there were so many I put them in file folders. I have to look, well, who produced the movie, which major studio that put down Jim Garrison just a week before he went to trial in New Orleans? Because see, Jim Garrison had the goods on, he was the one who told me about Clay Shaw working with Reinhard Gehlen and the Nazis, and the International Trademark was the core of the Nazi Center. When John Kennedy was murdered, he was the link to the New Orleans right-wing group. And in that book by Lebedev, called Treason for My Daily Bread, it links Martin Bormann from Argentine with Clay Shaw and Ruth Payne, who housed Lee and Marina Oswald. And Michael Payne worked for Dornberger, the Nazi war criminal from Peenemünde. You see, I've been on the Kennedy thing, as many of you know, almost 20 years. But the network of these people and the Kalb brothers, if their Opus Dei, would explain why they put on a movie to get Clay Shaw and the New Orleans group off the hook. The CIA was heavily involved in trying to stop Jim Garrison's trial against Clay Shaw, and they just about did a pretty good job on that. Now, one story that many of you will appreciate, and I didn't see it headlines, but it was the New York Times, Thursday, September 23rd. Now, that's when the first story of the Azhar Soviet Union links came out. And that's when Marvin Kalb produced the movie on television. And it was Marvin Kalb who made it, called The Man Who Shot the Pope, A Study in Terrorism. Now, the New York Times had a story right after that, September 23rd, from Moscow. The Soviet Union denied any involvement in the assassination attempt on the Pope, contending the operatives of the CIA planted that story. And see, Marvin Kalb now has Claire Sterling giving it, you know, the pipeline into Kalb from Rome, which she's been doing since the Lumumba. It says, contending the operatives of the Central Intelligence Agency planted the story, the official press agency TASS said they in Washington hoped to throw a stone at the Soviet Union, but they threw a boomerang. The Soviet statement came after NBC News broadcast called The Man Who Shot the Pope, the NBC News, A Study in Terrorism, saying the Kremlin may have backed the 1981 assassination attempt after the Pope threatened to return to Poland, his homeland. If the Russians invaded to put down Solidarity, the independent trade union movement would be crushed. And they thought that because the Pope was Polish, that they wanted to stop him from encouraging the trade union, so the Soviet Union would come on in. This is what the Soviet Union said. Four anti-Soviet sensations. A task commentator said that the specialists in fabricating foul anti-Soviet sensations had apparently seized upon the assassination attempt despite the conviction of a Turkish right wing for the shooting. Displaying considerable smartness, the specialists composed for the American National Broadcasting Company a provocative show. Of course, there were no and could not be any facts to prove this program. They dismissed evidence provided by NBC as absurd inventions about Soviet agents, about Bulgarian assistants, revolvers, and false passports. In short, it had all the attributes of a cheap detective story. It would have been better. Now, listen, this is the punchline. It's great. It would have been better to expose the CIA, said TASS, suggesting that the agency was behind the killings of such leaders as Patrice Lumumba of the Congo, Salvador Allende of Chile, and Orlando Letelier, a former Allende minister. I mentioned last week that they asked us to look into Allende and Letelier, but the important thing about this specific broadcast, their article, they mentioned Lumumba. They mentioned Allende and they mentioned Chile. Now, Lumumba is the subject of the article later that came out by Alexander Coburn that I'm referring to in January 83, the link of the Lumumba murder to Langley, Virginia, the assassination attempt on the Pope to the Lumumba murder, the influence of Cardinal Spellman in ordering John Kennedy to have Lumumba killed. He went to him and said categorically that Lumumba will never enter Rome alive. Now, usually I talk pretty fast and broadcast pretty fast. It's hard to follow names, but I'm purposely going slow on this because the Lumumba orders to be killed came from Cardinal Spellman, and Cardinal Spellman and the Sovereign Military Order of Malta and the Opus Dei are deadly. They, not everybody in there, are a deadly organization. And even going back to the Village Voice in 1980 and miles of files that I have, when I sent this material and worked with Cliff Londecker in the Examiner story, I had the list of 8 people and when they were murdered and who was murdered at the time Grace died. It wasn't just that I took it out of a vacuum, as many of you know. And one of them was the hitman for Wilson and Turple, who had been in Europe to kill one of the witnesses to the Vatican mafia connections of Michael Sindona and Licio Gelli and Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. And he was in an American jail and he was allowed to escape Rikers Island, and he was living in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, not far from where Grace was, and also the former head of Lockheed, the Cortland Gross family, I've mentioned many times, were murdered. Those were like backyard neighbors of the main line, and Lockheed had begun altering the Italian elections as early as 1947 and into the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They were a conduit of keeping the fascist government alive. I could go more into the Lockheed again, but that's not important. But the Lumumba murder is being linked to the Pope assassination attempt cover-up. And the New York Times, September 23rd, that was almost 3 months ago, said Lumumba. Now, another murder that I keep talking about, I mean, we could go into 200 or 300 political assassinations that are important, but none are more important than the Lumumba, Allende, and Letelier, because the people that you have voted into power, your leaders now, are tainted in blood, and they should be removed from office. And I have said over and over again, the sponsorship of, Henry Kissinger as a world leader, if you could pinpoint any one murder that he personally ordered for ITT and for the copper people, just as there's copper in Belgium, Congo, Zaire, and they ordered the murder for copper. The copper for ITT and Anaconda and Kennecott, and incidentally, the Supreme Court justice that Reagan appointed from Arizona is on the board of Kennecott Copper. She's also on part of the copper, represents their interests. Yeah, you could figure that out, I'm sure, a long time ago, but look up her holdings and you'll find out Ms. Connor's holdings with copper in Chile. But not to digress too far, if Henry Kissinger is touted as a great American hero, and who is doing the touting of Mr. Henry Kissinger? Nobody better. Nobody travels with him better than Bernard and Marvin Cal. Everywhere he goes, every trip, what do they refer to him as? The Henry of Arabia. Oh, Henry, the great man, the second greatest man in the world, the second most powerful in the world. Those are just the covers of their book, and these adulations and genuflections. And Henry is a god. He portrays a god. He's a stone killer, and he has been since he was a brat and went in the U.S. Army intelligence from Germany. And they have mentioned the killing of Allende because that would knock the belly out of Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig and Richard Nixon, who was there at the time doing this. And then Orlando Letelier is an important murder because he was blown up by the team in Washington, D.C., the Chilean ambassador that links to Michael Townley from Ford Motor Company, from the aerospace industry, who's down at Colonial Dignidad, quartering human beings into quarters and throwing them down the river, torturing for the Nazis. There's a new book out on the SS by Infield that explains a chapter on Colonial Dignidad. And for 2-3 years ago, I was doing programs on Colonia and comparing it to Jonestown, that Jonestown was a microcosm of colonial dignidad that borders on Chile and Argentina. And the people that set up this murder of Letelier in Washington, again, Edwin Wilson of the CIA, who set up Idi Amin and the torture centers with Mr. Frank Turpel, and sending all the weapons and torture schools down to Gaddafi in Libya, and Carlos doing the multi-killings around the world. The Opus Dei and Cardinal Spellman, they didn't like Pope John the 23rd. They didn't like Patrice Lumumba, and they didn't like John Kennedy. He pulled back from the Bay of Pigs. And within a short time, all three were dead out. Now, I have a full-page picture from our local papers here, August 21st, 1982, and I'm sure you can get it at your libraries. 10 p.m., Xerox Corporation sponsors The Man Who Shot the Pope, A Study in Terrorism. And below, it's got a picture of the Pope above, and below, an NBC white paper reported by Marvin Kalb, and the Pope and the Kalb on one page. Isn't it great? I'm going to take a 1 minute break, and we'll be back with you in 1 minute. This is Mae Brussel, KAZUFM in Pacific Grove, California.